Let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter number 55. Psalm chapter number 55. We're continuing our series on beating abuse. And last Sunday, we talked about beating spiritual abuse and how important it is for us to study the Word of God for ourselves so that someone can't stand up and take the Bible out of context and use it to teach us things that aren't right, to control our lives and get us to do things that God would not have us to do. It's so important. The greatest thing you can do for yourself and for those who are around you is study the Bible and know what it says. And so that is so important. And here this morning, we are going to be looking at beating physical abuse. As I was doing some research for this message, I found out that October is the awareness month for domestic violence. And I don't know if you had an opportunity to read the proclamation that our president put out, but in it he stated that 1 in 4 women in our nation suffer from domestic violence. 1 in 7 men in our nation suffer from domestic violence. And I know that it is so out of control in our society, and so often we just kind of look the other way. I mean, some athlete does something and, you know, and we've heard the stories that made the national news, and yet it seems a little slap on the wrist, and then we just kind of forget about it, that that's some celebrity off somewhere, that's happening somewhere else, and yet so often it happens right here. To someone sitting next to you and you don't even know it. People become very good at covering things up because of fear, because of shame. And it is important for us to get to know one another. Take some time to invest in the lives of the person who is sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you. I mean, as a church, we want to be a help for one another. And we want to stop the cycle. And studies have found that people that grow up in an abusive home are more likely, if you're a male, you're more likely to continue the abusive cycle and to think that it is okay to physically abuse and harm your children or your wife. If you're a young lady and you grow up in those circumstances, you are more likely to tolerate an abusive situation. And so the cycle just continues. And it's important for us to shed some light, to speak up if you think something's going wrong. As they say, if you see something, you need to say something. You need to speak up. And here I want to begin in Psalm chapter number 55, and I want you to see the heart of the psalmist. King David here is writing. And notice what he says. He had spent a good portion of his life on the run as King Saul was jealous and sought to take his life. And of course, you remember who David's very, very best friend was, Jonathan, Saul's son. But notice what he writes. Verse 1 says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. And here we have, you know, King David is he's crying out, and you can just kind of see the sorrow and the pain of his soul as he's crying out to God and about the hardship and the cruelty that he was enduring. I mean, he got to a point, and like he says in verse number 6, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. I wish I could just make myself my way out to the wilderness where I can be alone and I can be away and I can be safe." He says, listen, it wasn't my enemy that did this to me. If it was my enemy, he said in verse 12, I could have borne it. If it's my enemy who's doing harm to me, I can take that. Because I understand that. That's the way it's supposed to be. He said, neither was it somebody who hated me that lifted up themselves against me. He said, if it was somebody who hated me, I could have hidden myself. I could have dodged the attack. I could have done something to get away and escape what they were doing to me, but it wasn't my enemy. It wasn't somebody that hated me. It was my companion. It was somebody who was close to me. I mean, look what it says, that we took counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. I mean, this is somebody who's close to me. And they're the ones who attacked me. They're the ones who hurt me. They're the ones who violated me. And unfortunately, this goes on day after day after day. And is the reality for far too many women and children in our society today. And I know it happens to men, but for the most part, I'm going to reference women and children. Men are more so likely to have the ability to defend themselves. And I'm not making light of a man who goes through it, because I know it happens. But for the most part, I'm going to be referencing women and children. And I hope you will not be offended at that. But here, he says, listen. It was not an enemy. It was not somebody that hated me. It's not ISIS or somebody else that's come in that is doing this to me. Yeah, come on. It's somebody who's close to me. Somebody who's supposed to love me. Somebody who's supposed to nurture and protect me. And so I got a few things I want to share with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you are suffering from physical abuse. Whatever form that may be, whether someone's hitting you, holding and restraining you down, making life threats against you with weapons or other things, I have some things I want to share with you. And I want to share it for those of you who are sitting here and you're not going through it. I guarantee someone in your life is going through it. Statistics say more than one person in your life is going through this. And so I want to give you some tools and some ways that you can be a help to them in these circumstances. And one of the things that dealing with people who are in a physically abusive situation is, if you have never been in that situation, you cannot understand the mindset of someone who's in that situation. You know, people will say, "Well, why don't you just leave? Why don't you just get out?" We'll talk about that here in a minute. Because as you suffer underneath this abuse and this oppression for so long, it changes the way you think. It changes the way that you look at yourself and you look at the world. And so the first thing that you need to do, if you are in an abusive situation or you want to help somebody in an abusive situation, if you're in an abusive situation, the first thing you have to do is you have to realize there's a problem. This is not normal behavior. It is not acceptable behavior. There is never a good reason for someone to physically do harm to another person. There's never a good time for a husband to physically harm his wife or his children. It's never okay. And the Bible does not teach that it is okay to physically abuse those who are in your home. So you've got to come to an understanding that this is not normal. And that's hard to do. Because if you have grown up in this, and this has been your life, and this has been going on for years and years, this becomes your normal. You just think that's the way husbands and wives are. You just think that's the way that parents treat their children. And so you've got to come to an understanding. You first got to realize that there's something wrong here. That there is a problem. This is not the way that God intended the home to operate. God intended the home to be a place of love. A place of peace and safety. That's what God intended the home to be. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, one of the greatest things that you can do for yourself and for your family is to study the Bible and know what it says. Because there are those that will take Ephesians 5 out of context and use it as an excuse for why it's okay to abuse their wife or abuse their children. It's never okay. It's never okay for you to physically harm those who are in your home. I don't care what the excuse you have is. It's not okay. And so here in Ephesians 5, the Lord gives us how the home is to operate. And it does talk about wives submitting to their own husbands. And there is maybe some misunderstanding sometimes about what submission is. Submission doesn't mean just being a doormat. It doesn't just mean that the husband does whatever he wants to do and the wife just has to be okay with it. That's not what submission is. It's not what it means. And if the husband is truly doing what he ought to do in the way God has instructed the home to operate, he would never treat his wife that way. But let's look at verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Look at verse 28. It says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." So, I want you to understand, ladies, that abuse is not normal. Abuse is not right, and abuse is not scriptural. Okay, so I want to help you with your thinking. You've got to understand there's a problem if you are living in this. Until you understand there's a problem, you will never get help. So we've got to start right here with understanding. What God said is, he says, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. So as a husband, my role and responsibility that God has given to me is to love my wife like Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And when you stop and you think about what Jesus was willing to do for you and for me, I mean, he was willing. He gave up so much when he left heaven to come to this earth and put on human flesh. And from the moment he was brought into this world, he was persecuted. He was hated. He was humiliated. I mean, Psalm 69 tells us he was the song of the drunkard. They'd mock him. They'd mock his mother. And the day came where those who were closest to him betrayed him, where they forsook him in his greatest hour of need. And then he was beaten. His flesh was literally ripped off of his body. He was nailed on a cross, and he shed his blood and gave his life to pay for the sins of mankind. That's how much Jesus Christ loved you. That's how much he loved the church. He was willing to go to any cost, whatever the sacrifice, whatever the harm to himself, to show his love to the church. He says that is the way that husbands are to love their wives. We are to love our wives and care for them where we're willing self-harm. We're willing to take the hurt. We're willing to take the sacrifice. Not be the one to harm. Not be the one to hurt. That is not what love is. Romans chapter number 13, the Bible explains to us a little bit about what love is. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 has a lot to say as well. Often read at weddings about what love is. Look at Romans 13. Verse number 8 says this: "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Look at verse 10 with me. "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." He says you're supposed to love, not just love your wives as you'd love yourself. You're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And love does no ill. In other words, it doesn't do any harm and any wrong to its neighbor. True love will never hurt. He said, husbands, you were to love your wives like Christ loved the church. You know, he says, love them like you love yourself. No normal person seeks to do themselves harm. If someone's seeking to do their self harm, we know there's a problem. If somebody's cutting themselves or trying to commit suicide or whatever else, we know there's a very real problem that needs to be addressed and needs to be taken care of. Just as it's not normal for us to harm ourselves, he says, it is not normal. It's not right. It's not okay for someone to harm a person who is in their family. It is not okay to physically harm your wife. It's not all right. Never. It's never okay. It's not okay to abuse your children. Ephesians chapter number 6. A couple of beginning verses talk about children and the way they ought to behave in their home. Verse 4 says this: "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, I do believe in discipline. I believe there ought to be repercussions for our actions, and it's important to teach our children that. But if you are disciplining out of a reaction, or you are disciplining out of anger, you are abusing your children. That is not discipline. It's not okay to fly off the handle and just start swinging. That's not okay. That's abuse. If you are in anger and it's emotional and you are reacting out of what your child has done, you are abusing your children, and that is not okay. And the Bible does not condone it. We are to bring them up in the nurture. That's the loving care. That is the positive reinforcement. Bring them up in the nurture, and then he does say admonition, the correction. But discipline always ought to be thought out and planned out ahead of time. This is, if you commit this action, this is what the repercussions are, whether it's a spanking, whether it's a grounding, whether it's taking certain things away. We ought to have know ahead of time what the repercussions are, and this is what happens. And it's not just you've done something wrong and now I fly off the handle. That's not discipline. And so I want you to understand, as we look at the Scripture, that you have to realize, first of all, that there is a problem. Abuse is not normal. It's not okay. And I want you to understand that abuse always escalates over time. It's a progression that takes place. It doesn't just all of a sudden, one day, you've been married so many years, and everything's going great, and then, for no reason, out of nowhere, your husband just starts hitting you and punching you and kicking you. It's progressive. It might start with the things that are said. And we'll talk about emotional abuse next week and look more into the verbal and emotional aspects of that. But it shows itself before it ever gets to some physical things. It might start with punching the wall. It might start with breaking certain things, and he's getting angry and he's getting upset and he's breaking certain things. I want you to understand, eventually that's going to make its way to you. Eventually it starts off with, I just get so angry, and it turns out to be, you make me so angry. And he begins to blame you, and he begins to blame the children for his own actions. It's a progression, and I want you to understand, if you see the beginning signs, you need to get out and get out now. Because eventually that fist is going to find your face. It's a progression that takes place. It shouldn't be tolerated. It is not normal. So that's the first thing. You got to understand that there is a problem. The second thing, once you understand there's a problem, you've got to get help. You have to get help. I mean, when you are in this circumstance for so long, it changes the way you think and the way you understand things. It changes your perception, your reasoning, and your logic. And so it's important for you to get an outside perspective. Now, until somebody wants help, there's not a lot you can do to help them. You can try, but for the most part, you're just wasting your time. There's been people that I've tried to help get out of certain situations, and until they want to get help, you just can't help them, no matter what the problem is. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's abuse, whatever it is, unless somebody wants help, you can't help them. And unfortunately, there's times where people have not got to the point where they realize there's a problem and they're willing to get help. Now, if we see something going on, if we see bruises that just don't add up, whether it's on a woman, whether it's on a child, we ought to say something. If I see bruises or something on an adult, I am going to approach that individual with my wife and we're going to say something. I'm going to make sure that she's safe. If I see it on a child, I'm going to report it to the authorities immediately. That is not optional. If you see a child who's being abused, you must report it. I will always report it. We ought to say something. Now, if we see something, we ought to say something. If they don't want our help, at least we tried to help them. And the day may come where they realize there's a problem and they'll say, hey, you know what? That person cared enough to at least ask me about it. Maybe they'll help me. So they may not be ready to help you when you approach them and you see something, but hopefully before it's too late, they're willing to get some help. So you've got to come to the conclusion that I want help. That this is not normal. This is not the way my husband ought to treat me. It's not the way he ought to treat my children. You've got to get help. Now, there are a long list of reasons why a woman chooses to stay in an abusive relationship. Like I said, if you've not been there, then you really can't understand it. Because their thinking has changed. They've been so wore down that normal thinking and logic about who they are doesn't really exist anymore. And so here's just a few things, a few reasons why she may choose to stay and not get the help that she needs. Because she still loves him. She feels sorry for him and believes she can help him. Because he promised to get help. She feels the good times outweigh the bad times. She believes if she can work harder to please him, he will treat her better. She blames herself and thinks she deserved the beatings. She doesn't believe she can escape her batterer's domination. She may think other people will believe it's her fault. Her abuser threatens to kill her, to kill others, or himself if she leaves him. She feels she cannot financially support herself and her children. She has no other support system available. She believes that if she hangs in there with him, things will change and get better. She fears being alone. She came from an abusive home, so the violence seems natural. She denies or minimizes the abuse, saying it wasn't really that bad. He only hits me every few months. She stays because of religious or cultural beliefs, believing she is abandoning God. She believes leaving will mean she is a failure as a wife and mother. She does not know her legal rights and feels she has no options. She stays because of the children. She doesn't know anywhere she can move. She is too afraid or feels too powerless to leave. He isn't always brutal. He can be very loving when he's not abusive. She is unaware of the resources available to her. And that's just a few reasons to get you into the mindset of why does a person choose to stay in those circumstances. The time has to come where they're finally realizing this is not normal. This is not the way that I should be treated, not the way my children should be treated, where she's willing to overcome these reasons. And so one of the things as far as getting help is you need to develop a safety plan. If you're being abused, physically abused, you need to develop a safety plan. Now, I would encourage you, if you're able to get out and get out as fast as you can. But that may not be the safest thing for you to do. You may have to plan an escape. You may have to plan a way out of this situation. And so these are just a few ideas of some things that you can do to develop a safety plan. If you know somebody who's suffering from physical abuse, I would encourage you to help them develop a safety plan so they can get themselves and their children to a place of safety. You may need, and in your safety plan, here's some things you want to do. You should note alternate ways to escape your home and teach them to your children. So let them know, all right, this is, you go down over to this direction, you go out this window, and this is the way we're going to escape. Dad gets violent, and he starts hitting, and whatever else. This is how we are going to escape out of our house, because he may lock doors, he may barricade, he may do certain things. And so you've got to teach them and find these alternate escape routes from your home. Make sure your children know them. Have a rendezvous point in the event that you have to tell your children to escape for their safety. And as a mother, you may have to do this. Your husband, your boyfriend, whoever is beating you, for the safety of your children, you may have to tell them to run, to get out of the house, and this happens. And so you want to set up ahead of time a place where, when I can, mommy's going to meet you here. Or you can go to this neighbor's house, you can go to this area and whatever else, and I will meet you there when I'm able to. You want to keep important documents together where you can grab them in a hurry, whether it's birth certificates and social security cards and whatever else. Make sure you have those things so that when it's safe for you to leave, you can grab it and you can go, and you don't have to search, and you don't have to find things, and you don't have to figure out where something's at. You can grab the documents that you need, and you can get out of the house. I would encourage you to keep a bag of clothes and toiletries at the home of a trusted family member, friend, or neighbor, so that once again, if you've got to leave in a hurry, you don't have to pack things up and try to figure where something's at. You have a bag that's all ready to go, so that that person knows that there may become a time, there may come a day where I'm going to need to come and get this stuff. And you've got it out where you can get out as fast as you can. You're going to want to make an extra copy of your car keys and any keys that you may need. Keep them with that trusted family member, friend, or neighbor. And then you'll want to make a list of emergency phone numbers that you'll need. So you'll want to make sure that you have your local law enforcement, a number of a lawyer, a women's shelter that you can go to, and social services so that you can make sure that you've got food and you've got your children are provided for while you make that transition. And that's just a couple of ideas. There's a lot of other things that you could add to that. But just to give someone a basic idea of where they can start on developing this safety plan. But I want to say that if you are in that situation, or you know somebody in that situation, you need to get out. God does not want you to stay under those circumstances. You have to get out. You have to do it. It's what's best for you. It's what's best for your children. Your abuser is not going to change their behavior unless things change. Just staying in the home and hoping he's going to get better, it's going to get better, it's not going to get better. People don't change unless you make them change. And as long as you are in the home, it's going to continue and it's going to get worse over time. Then thirdly, I want you to see that you have to find hope. You have to find hope. Back in Psalm chapter number 55, the psalmist he's crying out to the Lord. Look at verse number 16. It says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And it's so important for you to get to a place. You've been beaten down. Both physically and literally, you've been beaten down to a place where you feel like you have no worth, where you have no value. You need to get to a place where you can have hope, where you can have peace and safety. I want you to understand that you are a wonderful creation of God. The Bible tells us that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You do not deserve to be abused. You need to surround yourself with people who will strengthen, encourage, and help you and build you up rather than tear you down. You need to seek out that help. As a church, we need to be open and willing and ready to receive someone who is suffering. I think of that lady in Alabama who was just looking for hope. She's looking for somebody to help her out of an abusive situation. And to have somebody tell her what a wicked woman she is because she left her husband. What a shame. We ought to be there to help. We ought to be there to give hope and encouragement. That's what they need. And I want to encourage you that if you are in an abusive situation, I want you to seek me out, seek my wife out. We want to help you. There are people in this room that want to help and encourage you. You need to get the support of friends and family, church members. But most importantly, you need to seek hope and help from your God. He is the one who ultimately can help you when no one else can. when the world looks dark, when it looks like there is no hope, when it looks like pain and agony and heartache is your life and there is no escape, He is the one that can help you. He's the one that can shine that ray of hope into your heart and into your life, that can give you the strength to get the help that you need. I know it'll be difficult to take that first step. I know it'll be difficult to open up to that first individual. But if you seek God and His help, He'll give you the strength that you need. You can beat physical abuse. You don't have to stay in this circumstance for the rest of your life. For your own sake, for the sake of your children, get some help today.